waiting a little bit. I've got different things that I kind of put in front of me, and I never quite know how it's going to come out or where it's supposed to go. You know, Jesus was asked one day, what must we do to do the works of God? I never come, you know, I always keep looking that text up and then forgetting where it is, and probably Rick knows right off the bat. Anyway, but he said, you know, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus replied, the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. Now, who did God send? He sent Jesus. What is the work of God? Not the things we do. Not orders of merit, not brownie points. It's relationship. To be related to Jesus. Connected to Jesus. The churches always haven't always understood this. It's amazing how people do get into works thinking this is what's going to get them to where they're supposed to be with God, and it's not the way it's supposed to be at all. As some of the things we've been hearing recently, you know. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe in the one whom he has sent. Believe. That means being connected to you. When you believe something, you put your life on what you believe. It's not just, oh, I believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. He's not bent upon serving him. To believe in Jesus. You know, another scripture which I think is such an important one is in John chapter 1, verse 12. Where it says, as many as received him, that's Jesus, as many as received Jesus, to them gave he the power, or the right, the word's exousia in Greek, to become sons of God, children of God. You become a child of God by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if there are people here that have never done that, you know, if you're here and you happen to know all about Jesus, you've been to church, maybe in traditional churches, you were baptized, confirmed, or whatever, or maybe in other cities, but you've never really made that connection with Jesus, then where are you? Where are you? Because if you haven't made the connection, you're not a child of God. Made by God, yes. Everybody's made by God, but not everybody enters into that relationship to become a son. Where are you then? Because the only way that you're ever going to be with God for all eternity, which he has planned for you, the only way that'll ever happen is if you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. And to save you from all of your sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, a gift is free, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, if there's anyone here right now that's never given your life to Jesus, this would be a good time to do it. Right now. Does it take guts to get up out of a chair and say, I never have given my life to... Of course it does. Nothing wrong with having a little bit of guts. But if there's anybody here that hasn't given their life to Jesus, and you're not sure that you have your eternal destiny secured, then you need to come up right now. Right now. And we'll pray for you. If I've scared the pants off all of you, that's good. It would shake you some to get out of a chair of complacency. That's good. You know, David Wilkerson, you may have heard of him in the cross and the switchblade. Years ago when he was sent to Harlem, and he had an appointment with a young man. And the young man, this was in drugs. And of course, you know, he worked with those in the drug culture in Harlem. In New York City. This young man had an appointment to meet him. The young man never met him. Never kept the appointment. 3 days later, he was found rotting, totally naked, on top of a building. Because he and some of his friends had gone and shot drugs instead of going, and he had taken an overdose and he died. Then, of course, they stripped him, took everything off, and he would have done the same if it had been one of the others. And he missed his death. No, I don't send anybody to hell. That's not my job. But to make the offer of salvation, that you might claim your destiny, say, today is the day when I want to make sure that I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I claim my eternal destiny in fellowship with that same Jesus. Now, if there's anybody here that hasn't done that and would like to do it, now you can do it afterwards and come up when there's prayer for ministry. If you're a little too chicken to come up now. Or you can come now. The Holy Spirit is waiting. You see, the Holy Spirit has got all the time in the world. And he's waiting on you and calling you softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. He's calling you. He wants you. What does God? God loves you so much. He never made you for hell. But that's a destination for those that don't choose the Lord and won't walk in fellowship and return, respond to the love of God. That's there. See, this isn't an offer of to scare you with Helen and Brimstone. This is an offer of God saying, I want you. I love you. Come. Let me live my life of glory in you, beginning today, in Jesus. Well, I don't see anybody moving. But we'll move on. I think the Lord has some other things on his mind. So I'm going to pick up on something else that's been said to you recently. About who you are. So I'm going to assume everybody here now has made that divine connection with Jesus. Everybody here is what we call born again. I don't use that term very much. I use the term, I've made my connection with Jesus. That's what the term I use. Born again, become a slogan. You know, converted can be a slogan. I made my connection with Jesus. Way back when I was 26, a couple of years ago. Yeah. I always get a smile when I see that. But you know, do you know who you really are? All right, if you have made that divine connection with Jesus, do you know who you are? See, we've been here, we're getting good teaching and real good teaching on that you are righteous. One of the key texts, and you know, it's funny how the Lord, ever had this happen where you'll have a scripture, or you'll see it again, read over it, and all of a sudden, it'll sort of come out like it's coming off the page to you. And this was 2 Corinthians 5:21. We used it last week. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, our Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. Have you ever thought what that's like? I thought about that. Have you ever thought about what it was like for Jesus on the cross? When Jesus said, in the depths of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine Jesus saying that? The Son of God, always in communication with the Father, the bond of love of the Trinity. But because he had become a human being, he had left certain things behind. And now, on the cross, taking the weight of human sin on himself, totally obliterated for the first time in his whole eternal existence from a sense of God, the Father's presence. Why have you forsaken me? Because of sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Took every single sin that you've ever done and ever will do on himself. Why? Why did he do that? That we might become the righteousness of God. Because you see, you're not going to walk with God through all eternity. You're going to not go to be in fellowship with God if you're hanging on to a lot of stuff you never should be hanging on to. It's got to be set clear, free from you. So, I was thinking about that, and then some other texts came to my mind. I've got written down here. This is J.B. Phillips' translation, and it's 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize You yourself are the temple of God. Who are you? Do you realize you are a temple of God? That God's Spirit lives in you? The very life of the eternal God who created the earth, He lives in you. God lives in you. Do you know that? If you've accepted Jesus, Lord, then God lives in you. Christ in me. God lives in me. The God that made everything. God that can look at the human race and all like pebbles on the sand and know every single one of them lives in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Don't you realize that you are yourselves are the temple of God, and God's Spirit lives in you? God will not God will destroy everyone who defiles His temple. For His temple is holy, and that is exactly what you are. You are holy. Do you know what holy means? Holy means you are separated. Consecrated. See, I come from a traditional church background. We used to set churches, and we would consecrate those churches as holy and sacred places. And you know what happens when they cease to be a church? Like in Minnetonis, the church that my mother-in-law was married in, the Anglican church. Well, that church is deconsecrated, no longer a holy, sacred place, and in some places it becomes a granary. But you see, we are sacred, holy, set apart. And I come across something in the Kindle. You know, I'm getting a bit digital. How do you like that? Not too digital. I haven't got a smartphone. I've got a cell phone, and I even found you could text them. When I was in Calgary about a year ago, I thought, well, I'll text my son. He was there too, and so I texted him on his, and he got it and he replied. And that's the last texting I'm ever going to do. But I did it. But it's just a straight ordinary phone. Anyway, but this is a text I come across, and it's Ephesians 2:22, and I'll read it what it is in the standard version. Maybe I haven't got that. Anyway, it's about a temple of God. But anyway, this is what, how do you like this? This is from Brian Simmons, who's written a translation of the Bible called The Passion. Now, I've always liked Bibles that are very close to the literal, you know, to the Greek. But this, Brian Simmons, I've got something on him called Poetry and Fire. That's Psalms. And he's a poet, but he's also a scholar. But then he's also done some of the New Testament, some of the letters. And this is Ephesians 2:22. He said, and this is about the building of the church, the whole church, the holy temple, and us as individuals. And he says, this is what caught my attention. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, His dwelling place through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Well, if you don't understand the Jewish temple, the Holy of Holies was that very sacred place in the middle of the temple where only the priest could go, the high priest, once a year to offer up on the Day of Atonement. You remember they had to tie something to his leg in case he died in there and they could pull him out? Only he could go in. The sacred, extra holy place where they believed the presence of God was. And he is saying here, this means that God is transforming each one of you, you and me, if we have come to know Jesus, ask Him as Lord, into the Holy of Holies. What does that mean? It means you are sacred, you're set apart, and you are a holy place, in a sense, a holy being. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in you. Well, you know, as I was thinking about those things, I was thinking that we're righteous. And Doug and I had a little talk like this last Sunday. Because I know a lot of people that are Spirit-filled. I know a lot of people whom God had become sin for, and they are the righteousness of God, who live their lives anyway, anything but righteous and holy lives. What is the problem then? I came across a couple, a little blood. I was going to marry a couple. They were middle-aged people. They had kids growing up. And they both came from charismatic backgrounds. And I was talking to them, and I said to them, are you guys making out with each other? And they looked very sheepish. They were. I said, you're Christians, and you're behaving this way. And they weren't yet married. Well, you know, that's only one little story, isn't it, of many people who are the righteousness of God, but who do not live like the righteousness of God. So what is the problem? The problem is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Good old Anglican terms, when you're baptized, you renounce the world, you renounce the flesh, you renounce the devil. But then you've got to live according to that renunciation. What is the world? The world is your selfish desires. It's the power base. Living for self, getting the most out of, you know. I don't have to tell you what the flesh is. Everybody knows what that is. And it's not just sex. It has a lot to do with a lot of other things too. And then the devil, we know what he is, but to denounce them. Well, if we are, you might say, where is he going with all this? And I'm wondering myself. Well, where I'm going in this is, you're told you're the righteousness of God because Jesus became sin for you. And sometimes you live anything but the righteousness of God. So what is the problem? Because you see, sin, because he did what he did on the cross, for it doesn't mean to say you can't sin today. Now, you know, as a believer, you know what you do when you sin. You can take it back. You can confess it. Have you ever wondered? See, the church is supposed to be this holy fellowship of God. Why every so often when there's a move of the Holy Spirit, does the whole population go down on the face in repentance because the Spirit has brought them to a sin? What are they repenting of if they're all righteous? The point is they're not living like they're righteous. They're not living according to who and what they are. So you're not living according to your birthright in Christ. That takes something doing. So you have to kind of put the two things together. Because if I let you think you're just the righteousness of God, and you can go think, well, I can do anything I like. Wrong story. You still have to get back on your knees and say, God, I have sinned. David had to do it when he was called up short. Peter, you know the great ministry of Jesus to Peter, who had denied him three times. Well, was that sinner, wasn't it? I don't even know the man. And the great love of Jesus brought him back into fellowship and ministry. And that's, of course, what God wants to do. What am I saying? I know what I'm saying. I'm saying you got to realize who you really are. You've got to realize who you really are in Jesus. And then you have to begin to try to live as best you can accordingly. And when you fall, he's there to pick you up. He's there to receive you. But to say that you'll never fall, to say that you can't be inconsistent with who you really are. You know, I was thinking of Prince Harry. I've heard that Harry doesn't know whether he's fish or fowl, a prince or what. You know, you've read how sometimes Prince Harry has been seen in this group doing that and that groom doing that and some pretty not crummy stuff. And not at all living like a noble prince. But he is a noble prince, according to that society. He is a prince. And a prince of even Canada. But he needs to live and put his life in order as to who he really is. Well, I believe in one sense that's what it is for us as believers. We're sons and daughters of God. That's who we are, sons and daughters of God. And therefore, it takes a certain amount of self-discipline. It takes a certain amount of intentionality to live as. And then, of course, this same text that I read this kind of in Ephesians. No, it's not that text. It's the text in 2 Corinthians 5. You know how it precedes about But what Jesus did for us, and the God became, he says, we're ambassadors. And that's another thing, to be an ambassador. To be a son of God, or a daughter of God, but also to be an ambassador. So that the beauty of Jesus, see, this is a great text. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Is the beauty of Jesus always seen in you? I hate to tell you what I have done. You know, we Anglicans, we wore collars all the time and had a cross. And my wife was late shopping in a mall. And she came back and I tore a strip off her in front of everybody. What kind of a witness was that? What kind of ambassador was that? Aside from the fact that she had to put up with me. She's never said anything. Some of these people are saints that live with us. You know that? Did you know that? You know that, men? Some of these wives of yours are saints who put up with you. And women too, I suppose. Okay. I've kind of probably said enough. I'm really trying to call you and really kind of emphasize a little bit on what you've been being taught about being the righteousness of God to make you realize who you really are as a child of God. So now I want to have a little quiet and let the Lord seep through to you. Because you don't know how much God loves you. How much he really calls you forth to claim your destiny, to be everything he created you to be. Father, would you just, even now, by your Holy Spirit, reinforce in every single person who they really are, how you love them, how you call them, how you minister to them, how you don't give up on them, and how you form them and shape them for fellowship which is eternal in your glory. And you do this all, Father, through Jesus your Son, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.